There are a lot of tax changes to consider this year, so we thought we'd get our tax expert in a bit early to tell you about them. I'm Larry Mueller. My guest today, Mary Mellum, with us to help you prepare your taxes and to think strategically through the rest of this tax year. She's a tax professional, been in the tax business for more than 30 years. She and her husband, David, operate Ashwaubenon Tax Professionals. They're enrolled agents. These changes will affect a lot of things, standard deductions, retirement, charitable donations. So we'll talk about those and a whole lot more, and certainly take your questions as well. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. And you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Mary Mellum, thank you so much for taking time to be with us. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Larry. It's nice to talk with you again.
Yeah, good to talk with you. I've read that even the tax forms are different this year. What's going to change on them?
Well, they're still in the process of doing the sample forms. You know, nothing is in stone yet. But the IRS came out with a postcard, supposedly, and you've probably heard about the simplification of the tax form. But do not be surprised or do not be taken back by that, because they came out with a half sheet of paper, roughly, and put the tax return on the half sheet and the back side of it. But they also created 6 worksheets that feed into that, to say nothing of the regular Schedule A's and B's and C's that still exist. So simplification did not really mean my opinion of simplification.
Okay. Well, there will be lots of changes to how we figure our taxes then. Let's start with standard deductions. They change, don't they?
The standard deduction has increased, almost doubling from what it was before. It was $6,200, I believe, for this year for a single person. It's going to $12,000 for a single person in the coming year. That means, and the number for the joint filer has gone to twice that, the $24,000, which means that people who are on the edge of itemizing may be better with the standard deduction. I like to tell people, do everything that you did last year and let your professional or you weigh which is better. Many of the same deductions exist, but some of them have been tweaked a little bit. And then there is one area that was totally taken off of the Schedule A, which, if you are a person who has, we call them miscellaneous 2% items, and that was the focus for why you did the Schedule A predominantly, certainly you won't be doing the Schedule A if that was your main reason. So for some people, there's going to be big changes. For others, it's not going to be so different than what you did in the past.
Yeah. What about the child credit? What about any changes there?
The child tax credit has gone to $2,000 instead of the $1,000 that it was in the past. So that certainly has increased for people. And also for people that ask one major question ever since the child tax credit came out, why did it stop at 17? Well, my answer to that was budget. But they have created a credit that kind of goes along with the child tax credit. It is for the other dependents on your return, and there is a $500 credit for someone who doesn't qualify for the child tax credit, but this family credit or part of the child tax credit for that older child now exists.
We will take some questions. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Justin in Appleton, your turn. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. I'm wondering if you've heard anything about people hiring someone that knows about accounting and is also well-informed about legal issues. that is able to find financial independence for people using off-grid internet or a dark web, I've heard it called, to get that financial independence by using these offshore accounts and this kind of a secured network.
I don't know, Justin, but the terms that you have used sound scary to me. So, no, I don't know anybody that has done that, and it doesn't sound like something that I would be comfortable with.
Yeah.
So I can't help you with that.
Yeah, I have. I would be leery about anything like that, to be perfectly honest. Let's talk about estate. I know there were changes in the estate taxes. Does that have much effect on the average, you know, me or the average taxpayer?
No.
Yeah.
The estate tax, over my time in the tax world, we've gone from $600,000 that you could shelter to $1 million that you could shelter to $5 million. And the latest go at it starting in 2018 is that each person is able to shelter, and I'm using a rounded number, but about $11 million. So for a married couple, before estate tax would kick in, it would be $22 million of monies that you could have. Value of your property before you would have to pay estate tax. So that number has doubled, but there's a lot of people that were well off with the $5 million.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was talk of getting rid of the estate tax, and I think this was a compromise. It's almost gone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think that there are a limited amount of people that would be at that level.
Yeah, certainly takes me out of the picture. Oh, my.
I agree with you there.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, essentially, it just about eliminates the whole thing, the estate tax.
And I haven't checked the net worth of our top 100 people in the United States, but you know, they may be the ones that we're talking about that are going to have to deal with that. But for the common everyday person, and even on the top side of the everyday person, the estate tax has, you know, saved them from worrying. And it also causes people, as they near the end of their life, are planning. And they use trusts and things like that to plan for who gets and how people get their money. And these numbers going up have certainly changed the way some of those trusts were written. So if people had trusts written years ago, it's probably a good idea at this point for them to revisit that and see if the trust, the way it's written, is appropriate for these changes.
Yeah. Well, another A big deduction is for mortgage interest, and that will have could have some negative impacts, the changes there, on Wisconsin residents.
Well, mortgage interest is still allowed.
Yeah.
Only we had a cap of $1 million of debt, and that was combined debt between your principal residence and one vacation home of your choice. That number for the maximum debt that you can use the interest to write off is dropped to $750,000. So that's one of the changes. For us in Wisconsin, it's not nearly as devastating as it is for the people who live in New York and California or the coasts, because their debt for their principal residence alone is oftentimes much greater than ours is. So we're kind of sheltered in the middle of the country as far as that goes. But there is one other change to the mortgage interest that does affect a lot of people, whether you live on the coasts or in the middle of the country, and that was the elimination of home equity debt. prior to this, we had $100,000 of home equity debt. That meant that you could use your house as a bank and borrow against your house and do whatever you wanted with that $100,000 of debt. But one other caution. Home equity debt is sometimes a bank term, and it means that anytime you want to go and take money, use your house as collateral for a loan, they may call it home equity debt. Sometimes they call it second mortgage. You know,
yeah.
It is what you use the money for that determines whether it is deductible or not. So if I have a home and I need to put new windows in, and I go and I get a home equity loan for the windows, I can still deduct that interest because it is an upgrade to my home. On the other hand, if I decide I need a new Ferrari and I use the money in against my house for that, that's clearly non-deductible.
Oh, so Dave Botratz, our engineer, if you're going to get a new Ferrari, you're kind of going to be out of luck on the tax side.
That is exactly right. Non-deductible interest.
Non-deductible interest. Oh, my goodness. Well,
now,
yeah, go ahead.
There is still another little kind of mess to this. Over time, especially with the interest rates declining, people have refinanced their homes. And the refinance, as far as mortgage interest, really hasn't been a big deal because of this $100,000 catch-all, so to speak. But if each time they refinance their house, they took a little bit out to pay for credit cards or something like that, the only real mortgage interest is whatever the original debt was plus any debt that they used to upgrade the house.
Uh-huh.
And tracing that over time because of these refinanced loans could be a nightmare.
Oh, my goodness. It could be, as for sure. Well, Mary Mellum is our guest today, and she's going to be with us right up till 12:30 today. She's a tax professional. She and her husband, David, operate Ashwaubenon and Tax Professionals. They're enrolled agents. Always great to have her with us. And we'll be taking answers to your questions about the new tax laws or at least planning for this tax year at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back with Mary right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Lots of changes on this year's tax form, and we're talking about some of them with our guest today, Mary Mellum of Ashwaubenon Tax Professionals, back with us. Mary and her husband David have been in the tax business for more than 30 years. They serve individuals. They do consulting to tax professionals, teach tax seminars around the country. And so if you are confused about the new tax regulations or maybe you just have a tax question, I hope you'll join in. 1-800-642-1234. That's the number to call. 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And Mary, we're going to go right to the phones here and to Annabelle in Fort Atkinson. Annabelle, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call. I have a couple questions just for information about the estate tax kind of thing. Are those numbers for a limited period of time, or is that something that is to be ongoing? I understood you to say for federally there it would be $11 million or something before it would come into play. Is that true also for, does Wisconsin recognize that number?
As far as Wisconsin, I believe that Wisconsin does go along with federal law in that particular area. As far as your question about how long it goes, I'm going to, as we're talking, I'm going to check on that. This bill, like the past few bills, has certain features of it that, as we call it, sunset. And some of the features also are permanent. And so I am just looking as we're talking to see whether I can find whether this is a permanent change or whether this is going to sunset.
And if it sunsets, it certainly wouldn't be sunsetting in the next year or two.
No, most of the sunset provisions go through 2025. And one of the things that I have seen, it's temporary, thank you. It does sunset in 2025 if it's not made permanent prior to that time. So we're good for about six or 8 years.
Yeah, somewhere in there. And then it's possible that it'll be made permanent anyway.
It is. And again,
yeah, who knows?
This is the way that the bill is written for the most part. There are a few provisions in this tax bill that are permanent, but many of them have that 2025 deadline.
There you go, Annabelle. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Larry in Neenah. Larry, hello. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, I was wondering about the, I have a traditional 401k and an IRA, and there's been talk with the tax laws being, or the tax rates being lower, about switching to a Roth 401k. I'm not quite 59 and a half, but I could do contributions to my a Roth at work. But I make like $75,000 a year, and I'm still looking at it's a nice tax deduction. What's your thoughts on that?
Okay. There's a lot of terms that, that you've been throwing around. So let me kind of put things on the plane. A Roth IRA or a Roth 401k allows you to invest money in it and have the money grow tax-free, the earnings of it be tax-free. Your traditional IRA or your traditional 401k allow you to put money in and reduce your income within the limits that are allowed, reduce your income that you're subject to tax. So you are making trade-offs. It's kind of, the trade-off is less income now or non-taxable income later. And it's hard to know. I mean, there you will find people on both sides of the fence to say that one is better than the other. With the tax rates going down, it certainly says your deduction is not worth as much now as it was in previous years. But no one knows for sure what tax rates are going to be in the future. So it's kind of what you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
And there are many people who do the conversion. They invest in the IRA or they invest in the 401k, and then at some point they convert that money into the Roth. Keep in mind that if you are converting traditional money where you have gotten the deduction into the Roth, you will pay taxes at the point of conversion. You don't pay the 10% penalty that you would for taking out things early, but it still becomes part of your taxable income. So I can see positives on both sides of it. I think the younger you are that you start investing in a Roth, in my opinion, the better it is. When you get to an older age and start converting it, I'm not as sure that I'm as strongly in favor of it at that point. It all depends on where your particular side is.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. I had some questions about charitable giving. What has changed with deductions for charitable giving?
Charity is pretty much the same. The only thing that is really changed as far as the charity is that there was a 50% limit for instance, cash contributions. You could not deduct more than 50% of your income in any year, and they raised that to a 60% limit. For most people, again, unless it's a special year where you're making a strangely or unusually large donation, the charitable, that part of it hasn't changed. But there is one other thing in Wisconsin that I want to mention before we can go back and talk about the charity again. But there has been a change as far as charitable deductions relative to the purchase of tickets to, for instance, the UW football games. Yeah. It used to be that alumni or people would be able to purchase tickets in conjunction with large charitable donations. And that has been taken out, that if you're purchasing tickets is contingent on a certain donation, the donation will not count. So that's kind of an important thing if you happen to be in that situation. And it's not just UW-Madison. It's any schools that kind of encourage giving tied to tickets.
Gotcha. Another question had to do with property taxes. What about property taxes and deductions?
Again, the property tax. Property taxes are deductible. There are many things with these tax law changes that have not changed. Property taxes are deductible. However, the tax section of the Schedule A, your property taxes, your withholding taxes, your state sales tax in that area, has been limited to a maximum deduction of $10,000. So for many people in Wisconsin, they may be affected by it, but again, not nearly as much as the people on the coasts. So if your withholding tax, your estimated tax payments, and your property taxes exceed $10,000 in the past, you will be limited to $10,000.
Okay. And I, to go back to charitable giving, there has been some talk about people who do itemize, bunching their donations. In other words, let's say you're giving to a church, and
sure,
you give this year you would give your donations for the year, but then you might give your donations for next year this year as well, and then take a standard deduction the next year.
Certainly, that has been a strategy that has not changed over the years. That's a strategy that people have used in the past, where one year you itemize because you lump as many deductions as possible into that year, and then the next year you don't have those deductions and you take the standard. The difficulty with that is that less and less people are going to have that opportunity because of the raise in the standard deduction. So it's certainly a good thing to take a look at, especially those people who are on the edge.
Yeah, and what's the
standard? Pardon me?
I'm sorry. The standard deduction, again, is?
$12,000 for a single person, $24,000 for a married couple, and then we also have an adjustment for being over 65 and blindness, the same as we've had in the past. So it might raise it, I think, $26,500 is probably the standard deduction for senior citizens that are both over 65, that potentially they would have a deduction in excess of $24,000.
Okay. Let's take another call. John in Mount Horeb. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you. Say, our mortgage on our home is all paid off. It's been paid off for some period of time. However, we're thinking about making an investment in some farmland, and this would be a long-term investment, but our banker is recommending that we take out a new mortgage on our home to pay for the farmland. And my question is, for a loan like that, would the interest on that sort of loan be tax deductible?
Okay. My answer is yes, but. And here's the yes, but. If you use your house as collateral and you do not use the money to invest in your personal residence, then it is not deductible mortgage interest. But you would rather take that interest and trace it to the uses of that money. In what you have said, the money would be used to purchase an investment. It would be deductible as investment interest on the Schedule A. However, investment interest is limited in any year to the amount of your investment income. So if I had $1,000 of interest on that loan, but the only investment income I have is $100 from interest or dividends, I'm limited to $100 in the current year and a carry forward of the extra $900 to a future year.
Ah. Gotcha. Does that make sense, John?
Yes, it does. And I really don't have other similar investments, so it sounds like it would not be tax deductible for me.
I would say that it wouldn't benefit you in the current year. It is something that is a carry forward forever until you get rid of that loan, and you know, at some point in the future you may be able to deduct it, or actually you don't have to get rid of the loan. It carries forward forever until you maybe sell the property and create investment income from the sale of the property. So it's just not current help.
Okay, there we go. Thank you, John, for calling. And let's go to Mike in La Crosse. Mike, thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I got a question. My father passed away in January, and through his will, I inherited like $400,000 worth of stocks and bonds, a house that's free and clear, and $150,000 in cash. What am I looking forward to come tax time?
Okay, that's a really good question, Mike. I'm sorry about your father. Sounds like he took good care of you. As far as the income tax consequences, when someone dies, their property, much of their property, is revalued at the date of death. Stocks get what we call a step up in basis, which may be step up or step down. It's whatever the stocks were selling for at that point in time. A home, the same thing. And if you were to sell those at any time in the future, your gain would be the difference between what you sold it for and what it was valued at that date. Did your father have any retirement plans like IRAs or pension plans that you inherited?
He had all that stuff, and I'm not sure. There's more stuff at a couple banks yet that they're working through, and I don't know how much that is.
Okay. Just the reason I point that out is because your pension programs and your 401k or your 401ks, your IRAs, your pension programs, they do not get a stepped up in basis. So you would pay taxes on whatever your father would have paid taxes on when you're dealing with those kinds of investments. So if he had retirement programs, you probably would be required to take a distribution out in the year following the year of death, and that would be a taxable event to you based on how much you would have to take out. or choose to take out.
Okay, that makes that makes some sense. But in terms, it's a pretty good deal otherwise, because you go by the value of the house at the time of death, or at, you know.
Right. So when you resell the house or the stocks and bonds in a relatively close period of time, there isn't a lot of gain or loss to deal with.
Yeah, so if it's a $300,000 house at the time of death and you sell it for $310,000, it's only the $10,000 that you're going to be taxed on, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, there you go. So that's pretty good. And Mike, in your situation, I bet you, Mary, you'd agree with this. You probably want to sit down with a tax professional and just make sure that you've got all your T's crossed and your I's dotted.
I think that's excellent advice.
Okay. But it looks like you're going to have some money here. And you're not, the tax burden may not be that great. David in Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, David.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon.
What can we do for you?
I joined a group of people that, a solar group by here in the Eau Claire area. And I gave a 75% down payment on my system. The company kind of vanished and left myself and a dozen or so other people. We lost our down payment. So I'm wondering if there's any way I can recoup that on my taxes as a loss.
Tell me a little bit more about this solar group. Is it a business activity or is it a solar system for your house?
It's a solar system for my property and my house, yes.
Well, what I would normally have told you is that if this company absconded with it, you may have a theft loss. And if it was personal, it would have been a casualty loss that would have been deductible. Starting in 2018, casualty losses are no longer deductible unless they're in presidentially declared disaster areas. So based on that being a personal expense, I see it as non-deductible unless there's, you know, something else that I'm not seeing. If it were a business casualty, that's a different story.
Yeah, that's unfortunately, that doesn't sound like that is the case. David?
I certainly would look at a legal, you know, pursue them legally and see what you can do about it.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you very much for calling. What should we be doing now here in the last minute to prepare for filing our returns for next year?
Well, Larry, one of the things that I have noticed recently is there are a number of public service announcements coming from the IRS. And the public service announcements are trying to warn people that they should beware of their withholding. The tax breaks that came in also affected what was coming out of your check. So basically, people felt these tax breaks because they lowered the withholding tables. And IRS, I think, is fearful that people may not be looking at the big picture and the changes in their income, maybe, or things. And they're suggesting that people take a look at the withholding, project your income for 2018, and make sure that you have enough withholding taken out to be comfortable. And so that's one of the things that I would suggest. If you can mock up your return, if you're someone who does it yourself, you know, kind of mock it up and see, do I have enough withholding based on my current rate to cover what I perceive my taxes are? Or for those people who use professionals, it's a good time to check in with your professional to see where you are, because it's much easier to increase your withholding now than it is to wait till December.
And write a big check the next part of the... Mary, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much. You're going to be back on December 18th, is that right?
I believe that's the date, Larry. Yes.
Well, it's great talking with you again. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to your next visit. Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome.
Mary Mellum, tax professional. She and her husband, David, operate Ashwaubenon Tax Professionals really does a great job, and I much appreciate the time that she spends with us. And she'll be back, and we'll do it again. Tomorrow, Garden Talk, Doug Soldat will be talking lawns. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network.